first week of the month to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. Now, usually we do that by sharing a loaf of bread and dipping it in the cup with each other, but since we can't do that, I invite you to pause this video and to go find whatever resembles bread and juice and then to come back. When we take communion, we remember the night that Jesus gathered with his disciples, whom he knew would betray him. Jesus, while eating with them, took the loaf of bread, broke it, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you." And they ate. And then when the supper was over, he took the cup and he shared it with the disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you eat and drink these things, remember me." Let us pray. God, pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and cup that is, so that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we can be the body of Christ for the world. Amen. Jesus told his disciples, "I am the bread of life." And for people in that time, bread was something that you ate every day. And every day you would make it again and again, because bread doesn't have a long shelf life. And bread's something that you need every day to survive. And so when we take communion over again, over and over each week, it's a reminder of the nourishment that we need each and every time. So I invite you now to pause this video, to receive the elements in your home, and take some time to read a scripture like John 6, to listen to a song that's important to you, to take time to pray, and then join us for our conversation. Well, welcome to the conversation portion of the midweek message. I hope you enjoyed communion with whoever you're with or by yourself. And we remember that we get to be united together through something in a really mysterious and holy way. I've got Reverend Alan Lutz here with us, and we're going to talk a little bit about what communion means to you. So, Alan, you and I both grew up in church. Do you have, what did communion mean to you as a kid? Or do you remember taking communion as a kid?
I do. So I remember taking communion. It was at Tennyson Memorial United Methodist Church, which is the church that I grew up with, or First United Methodist Church in Fairfield, Texas, is where my grandparents were. So those are my two kind of home churches. And both of them had the old school little mini cracker.
Yeah.
And the shot glasses,
yeah,
for lack of a better word. And so they were individual. They were up at the chancel rail. So we'd go forward and we would kneel and we would take. And my mother usually like, you know, okay, now you can do it. Now this time to do this. So as a kid, I remember very specifically thinking how cool it was that they had snacks in church. And so that was my favorite thing about it then. And then, as you know, I guess it was probably around the teenage years, you know, confirmation and that whole time is when I started understanding that it meant more than that. And so,
yeah, I had a friend who told me, she's a pastor now, but she remembers the first time she was asked to help serve communion, kind of like we do now. The pastors get it ready, and then we have lay leaders who pass it out back, you know, when we're in normal church, I guess. And what's normal church?
Right.
And she said she remembers over and over saying, the body of Christ broken for you, the body of Christ broken for you, the body of Christ broken for you. And when she went home that day, as she was passing people in the car, just thinking, oh, the body of Christ is broken for you. The body of Christ is broken for you. And I love stories from what does it mean to you as a kid, or what did it mean to you? Because you have those realizations, and not just when you're younger, but that, oh, this is for everyone. And this is something that's very meaningful. But what does it mean to you now that you're a pastor, and what is it, and an adult, what is communion?
Well, it's a unifying thing. I mean, it is, you know, to me, the most important words of this is do this often in remembrance of me. Mm-hmm. And so it is a weekly if you go to one service, a monthly if we're doing this online or whatever your tradition is. It's exactly that. It's a way to really center and reset and to really focus on not just the sacrifice that was made, mm-hmm. But the importance of the ministry. And that was the Last Supper, and that we are able to continue sharing in that meal. And it's a unifying thing. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that the table is open for all in the Methodist Church.
Yeah. And that's a good point. If you go to different churches, they usually do communion maybe a little bit differently. And something that's unique about the United Methodist Church is that anyone can receive communion because we believe it's a gift from God and it's not something that you can earn. We remember Jesus was eating with Judas, who was about to betray him, and his disciples who were going to abandon him, and still Jesus fed them. And I think also something that's helpful to know is that we believe that communion is very special. And so some churches hold that view, and they say because communion's special, we have it just a few times a year so we don't lose the significance of it. Whereas we kind of take the opposite approach and we say this is so important and this is a transformative act of grace that we want to celebrate it every week. Just like we pray and worship every week, this can be part of what we do, which is why when we're gathered here in person, we have it every week available at the early service.
I'm glad that you mentioned the means of grace too. So like that's an understanding, a Methodist and a Wesleyan understanding of grace is that the sacrament of communion is an outward expression and an acknowledgement of the mm-hmm. grace that is already working within us. Mm-hmm. And so that's just one of those means of expressing that grace.
Yeah. And I appreciated, I think, the unifying aspect of it. I can remember a pastor during our Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, Thursday before Easter service, sharing communion with us and saying, now each one of you has a little bit of the same loaf. And so we're all unified by that. And the fact that we're all eating the same thing. And you're a chef, Chef Reverend Alan Lutz, or Reverend Chef, I don't know.
Chevrend. A friend of mine dubbed that. Yeah, different version of that word.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so what'd you say?
Chevrend.
Chevrend. Not to be confused with Chevron.
Correct.
Okay. So food is not just, it wasn't just a job, but if you're a chef, I feel like food is very meaningful to you.
Yeah.
And so to come into this, to be a pastor now and to have a sacred meal be a central part of a worship service, what does that mean to you?
Well, I think, again, we can get into these big church words, but you say sacred, it's sacrament, so this is a sacred meal. But I believe that all meals are holy, mm-hmm. right, or can be holy. They have the potential of doing that. Mm-hmm. Food and feeding people is a big part of my call to ministry. You know, if you look through the Gospels, so much of Jesus's ministry was done over shared food, mm-hmm. sitting down and breaking bread, whether it was, and usually not with those that, not just his closest friends, but with those that they were like, what are you doing breaking bread with this guy, Zacchaeus, mm-hmm. Simon? You know, there's so many, you know, all those women that were sinful, you mm-hmm. know, but they didn't even, sometimes didn't even have names in the Gospels. You know, those are the people that Jesus invited to his table. And so those were the unifying idea of Jesus knew what we know now is that food levels the playing field, mm-hmm. right? We all need to eat. And when we sit down and share a meal together, it's one of the easiest ways to strip away the pretenses, to strip away the prejudices, and to really see people because Jesus fed people, but in more importantly than what he said or what he did, oftentimes was the fact that he saw people, sometimes for the first time in their lives. And if you sit at a table and share a grilled cheese sandwich or whatever it happens to be, and you just look at someone in their eyes if this is someone that you had a prejudgment of, or an idea of who that kind of person is, or person from that part of society is, that kind of forces us to realize our commonality, mm-hmm. and to see that person as a person, mm. and to share this common thing that we both need, and realize that there's a lot more that brings us, or that is similar between us, and that is different. So I think that's one of the more powerful things that we can do as church. And as a deacon, you know, I'm called to connect the church and the world, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that church and the world can oftentimes most easily be connected through a meal.
I love that. And the idea that these common elements, like it's not cake, it's not fancy whatever. It's, you know, today we use a Hawaiian loaf that we found.
Right.
You know, it's these common elements, and even in Jesus' day, those were very common things that mm-hmm. they could acquire. That was for everyone. And I like the idea that it levels the playing field. Mm-hmm. That I hadn't heard that before. Yeah. What do you, so I, before we kind of, before we wrap up, do you have any funny stories you want to share about communion?
I do. There's several things that are just, that always make me happy and smile looking back, and, you know, having several years of communion under my belt as mm-hmm. a pastor, you just see some funny things on the other side of it. And some powerful things too. I mean, some of the more, before we get to the funny stuff, some of the more like emotional moments that I've seen in church have been people partaking in communion. Because mm-hmm. it hits them at that moment. And there was a gentleman at my last appointment who every time I would come by with the cup or whatever I had, he would grab my hand mm-hmm. and squeeze it mm-hmm. every Sunday. And it never lost its meaning, never once.
Yeah.
Now, the funny things are the kids, first of all.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
They, first of all, are super excited to come forward for anything in church. Mm-hmm. But when they come in, and I mean, you can sometimes, they'll go up to their elbows in that cup to dip their bread in, and just seeing the parents just panic, and, you know, but they're so excited, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then one time, gosh, this poor gentleman came in and he put the bread and put it in his mouth first and realized that he hadn't dipped it first all the time, right? And literally spit it out and was on his way to dip it back in the cup. And I'm like, you know what?
We'll get you some more
you
bread.
You are completely blessed at this point or whatever it was. And then final story, you know, I usually in my role at the last place would uncover the bread and break it and all that. And mm-hmm. we had the sweetest women that prepared the bread and wine or the juice every week. And as they, before they retired, their eyesight was going just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I went up, and as the senior pastor was going through the liturgy and the words, I pulled the napkin off, and that Hawaiian roll was green and fuzzy.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, completely covered in mold.
Oh, no.
And so I just, you know, covered it back up and whispered into the pastor's ear. We did a little tap dance for a little bit, and everyone got rice crackers that morning. But it was cute and it was funny, and that was a good reminder that it wasn't about the bread itself, because mm-hmm. we went to rice crackers. You at home just did whatever you had available.
You can use whatever you need.
Yeah, crackers and orange juice or whatever. You know, that it's not what they're eating. Or mm-hmm. what we're doing, it's what it represents.
Yeah, and there's the mystery of it too, that somehow this is holy and sacred, and God is here with us with this bread and juice or whatever you have. And somehow, I think this is the, you know, if you thought you got communion, if you thought you could understand the mystery of communion before, which, spoiler alert, I don't think we can. But now we're adding this idea that even as we're separated physically, that God is still connecting us through that is something that it keeps me humble, I think, and it reminds me that God is a lot bigger than I can understand. And so I need that grace that communion offers, but... Well, thanks for sharing with us a little bit about what communion means to you and the holiness of meals. And if you're watching out here and you have questions about communion, feel free to come and talk to us. Send us an email, smoke signals, call the church phone.
Carrier pigeon.
Create more creative, the better. But we'd love to chat with you and share with you about a little bit more about what communion means to us, and we'd love to hear what it means from you. But until then, thanks for joining us.